little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
And we are rolling.
Oh, I heard the blow test, so I know we're good now.
Into the top-a-roo.
All you got to do is just tap it in. Just tap it in.
Every week.
Chubbs is really the best, though.
What?
Now, I don't care what anybody says. Happy Gilmore is still one of the most goddamn funny movies ever.
Yeah, it's,
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I thought maybe it was just because I love golf, but it is really right up there on my list as well.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievably funny. I remember the first time I watched it, it probably took me three and a half hours to get through it, because there were certain parts I just kept rewinding and watching over and over.
Yeah. Ben Stiller in that movie is so good.
I think anything that Larson said, I probably watched 10 times.
It's got a million great lines. I think it breaks to the left. It's because you're only wearing one shoe.
I was like, can I trouble you for a glass of warm milk?
You can trouble me for a glass of shut the hell up.
Now you will go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep.
So good.
That's two. That's far.
I'll see you in the parking lot.
I remember that.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
You know, Bob Barker's in that movie too.
The price is wrong, bitch.
You remember the scene with Larson? He's standing right behind Shooter McGavin, and McGavin doesn't realize that there's a 7-footer standing right behind him.
Trying to reach the green from here, Shooter?
That's not possible, sir.
I beg to differ. Happy Gilmore accomplished that feat no more than an hour ago.
Well, moron, good for Happy Gilmore. Oh, my God!
And then McGavin comes around. Well, good for Happy. Oh, my God!
So good.
Yeah, that movie cracks me up. The best part about that movie is that the first time I had ever seen it in theater was with, like, not the whole school, but, like, probably, like, grades, like, 9, 10, 11 or something, you know? So that was awesome.
Wow, that's a good school. How'd they pull that off?
I don't know. It was like April, and
reward
it was probably
day
Easter
or something,
you know?
Yeah.
We listened to Eddie Murphy Raw in class once.
It's my house. You know what it is? And if you don't like it, you get the fuck.
No.
Yeah. We were waiting for our English teacher who was eons late. And so there was another teacher who was just, he had no class that period. So he was just hanging around, just popping his head in, keeping an eye on us. And somebody had the cassette of Eddie Murphy Raw and popped it in to the class's tape player. And we were just, half the class was horrified and half the class was just tearing up laughing. And the teacher, you could see like the demon inside of him was struggling. He knew he should tell us to turn it off, but you could see on the side he was like covering his mouth because he was trying not to laugh himself.
There's some certain things from Delirious and Raw. Come on, a Goonie Goo Goo?
Yeah.
Pee your pants every time.
Where to go from here, guys? Jeez. So finally, The Force Awakens won something, guys. It took a year and change, but finally, an 85-year-old man brought home some hardware for The Force Awakens in the form of a Grammy Award.
And you know what? Good for him. His shelves were probably pretty empty. He needed something up there.
He needed a confidence booster. He's probably not feeling too sure of himself these days. Yeah, but you know, in a week where he celebrated his 85th birthday, John Williams pulled in a 23rd Grammy. And I will full on admit that at first I was completely flummoxed by this, because I was like, what are you talking about? The Force Awakens soundtrack lost to The Hateful Eight. Why is it winning now? And why is it being awarded in 2017 when the soundtrack came out in 2015? What the fuck is going on? I was not happy. Mostly with myself, because I felt like I should have known the answer. But that whole time, I was confusing Oscars with Grammys.
That happens.
It happens to the best of us.
But still, why is, since The Force Awakens came out in 2015, like, why is he getting this award now? Like, what is the, like, what?
The, best I can tell, is that the soundtrack didn't come out or came out too late in 2015 for it to be reviewed and blah, blah, blah for the Grammys.
Okay, I got it.
And why it was able to be reviewed in time for the Oscars of 2016, I'll never know.
Well, no, but the movie was released at Christmas time, but the soundtrack might not have hit stores till...
No, it came out the same day.
Did it? No.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There goes that theory.
Yeah, they're both released simultaneously. I remember we went to go see The Force Awakens together on the Thursday night, and the first thing I did Friday morning was run out to get the soundtrack.
Yeah, but you know what? There's probably different windows for eligibility. Like, movies make all their headway in the first, you know, few days, weekends, and then drop off. Whereas, you know, good songs need a little longevity to prove themselves, so they probably have different criteria for windows of opportunity.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have had to have submitted the soundtrack, you know, maybe early December for consideration for the Grammys or something like that, or maybe information on the soundtrack, and just to preserve prevent any spoiler talk, they didn't release anything about the soundtrack, even though the track titles had leaked anyway.
Yeah, who knows? Well, someone knows, just not us.
That was my theory as well, same as you guys, like, obviously didn't meet some kind of deadline.
At any rate, way to go, John.
Yeah, way to go. It's his fifth Grammy for things related to Star Wars. He won 3 for A New Hope. He won 1 for Empire. And it took another 37 years until he won, or 36 years or so. A long time anyway, before winning his next award for a Star Wars film. I feel like that's unfair because he did some really good stuff in the prequels. I feel like maybe the music got unfairly treated because a lot of people just didn't like the movies. But man, the soundtrack for for The Phantom Menace, that's pretty much as good as it gets for John Williams. That's a fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah, there's not a day that passes in my office now where I don't rock out to the Duel of the Fates.
Are you standing on top of your desk headbanging?
No, I'm just loving it.
That's how he negotiates.
Yeah.
So, James, so you're our resident Oscar expert.
Oh, geez.
I'm putting you on the spot here. So what's more important and or prestigious? The Force Awakens winning a Grammy versus winning an Oscar. How do we slice this? How do we put this into context?
I would say for John Williams, the Grammy's much more important.
Musician to musician review type stuff.
Yeah, I would think so. Then again, it's your peers in the arts as well, and in the Academy as well. It's musicians it's other people who have won the award before.
In the Oscars, right? So other Oscar winners for best soundtrack or best original score would have reviewed that as an Oscar.
Correct. For some reason, I think it's probably still Grammys for musicians, but I could be wrong because he's a movie composer. He's built a pretty solid career doing that stuff. So I bet you Oscars are pretty important to him.
I guess maybe they're neck and neck almost.
And that's a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah, it is pretty tough. In my eyes, like, I don't know. I guess it depends on where you stand and what your career is. But I've always seen the Oscars as just a step above the Grammys, kind of, you know, like.
I think depending on your art,
things, right? Yeah, they serve different things. But like James made an interesting point saying that he's kind of specialized in movie music for the better part of his career, I would think, at this point.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, you got to think that the Oscars are like probably John Williams's Everest. You know, he feels like he's standing on top of the world every time he wins an Academy Award. I've got, how many Grammys? 20 what?
23 Grammys?
I don't know. Does it get old? I'm not sure. I don't have any.
Maybe we should ask Tom Brady if winning Super Bowls gets old.
Boo. Cutting it. Not putting that in the show. Cut.
And at the same time, we just give him a little kick in the pills.
That might make it in.
Just for fun.
Hey, you guys remember that time when we were recording Tumbling Saber and Tom Brady came back? And won the Super Bowl. For the
Patriots. Hope you say something really interesting right now, because this is all getting cut.
Yeah, and our friend over at the Roman Pod and Cast, Mr. Rob Cast, chirped us as well.
Yeah, I never liked that guy. You, Rob.
Oh, jeez. We love you, Rob. Except for James in this moment.
just over football.
Man. So the city of Boston, 2 weeks in a row, kind of pissed all over us.
Well, come on. Rask is now 1-9 against the Habs at home. I think that's what I saw in the paper. Like, just, I didn't study law or anything, but law of averages tells me that's got to happen eventually.
Yeah, well, the ledger have begun a long balancing act last night, but I wasn't very pleased about that. We've been lamenting the slow demise of our team.
You gotta point the finger at the coach at some point, though, don't you, Kyle? Come on.
Yes, absolutely. I've been a little bit soft on him, especially earlier this year, but at this point...
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
This keeps happening. This keeps on happening, and people keep... I don't want to get too far into this sporting tangent here, but yeah, I mean, it's at some point, something has to happen with the coach. I'm sorry. It has to.
Don't be sorry.
I shouldn't be. He's been around for what, close to 5 years. He's gotten his money's worth.
And he cost us a PK. So
he did. Son of a bitch. Anyway, let's go back to our happy place here. Did you guys catch the new clip for Rebels? It's back this weekend. I know, James, you must be really pleased about that. a new clip is out for the episode. I think it's called Legend of Mandalore, something like that. Legacy of Mandalore. Just a short clip of Sabine being welcomed home by her mom. And I put air quotes over welcome, because first thing her mom wanted to do was not give her a big hug after so long, but throw her in a cell. Which I thought was pretty rude. Did you guys catch that clip?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen photos of it on Twitter so far, but I know what scene you're kind of you're talking about, but like, is it confirmed at this point that is her mom, or are you just like saying like,
yes,
it is confirmed? Yes. Now
can you just visit the show notes next time?
I'm just
and Sith Disturbance never has so show notes.
I'm wondering, oh, poor Kyle.
What am I looking at then?
I'm wondering if she's Mandalorian or Irish Catholic with that kind of welcome. Hi, Mom. I didn't see it yet, but I will make my way there. I'm regaining momentum. I'm working my way up ahead of steam. What I've done is, and we talked about this off the air, but I've blocked myself off a chunk of time when my in-laws come back from their vacation, where I'm just going to dive back in and watch like at least a few hours. I think my problem is I'm trying to squeeze in episodes and half episodes when I have 10, 15 minutes, and it's not working out for me.
But anyway, it's funny, we're talking about Sabine, and she's become a character of focus in season 3. And I mean, this episode coming out of the break will certainly focus on her, but there's a story where she teases like something, somewhat of a curveball coming.
I cannot hit curveball. Straight ball, I hit it very much. Curveball, that's our friend.
As far as Sabine is concerned, and she was talking to comicbook.com, I believe, and she says, we might be going somewhere unexpected. And she kind of looks over at the Lucasfilm PR person, and they said, yeah, that's fine. You can talk about it a little bit. And she says, where we're going might not be where you think we're going. Of course, so now we're all, ooh, what the hell does that mean? But, you know, I'm looking at this winter planet that she's on in this preview. And this is the laziest reach of all time. But if I'm going to do a lazy reach, I'm going to do it on Sith Disturbers. I really wonder if for somebody who has built a lot of terrible weapons, and for a species that loves war, on this winter, and they're on this sort of seemingly wintry planet, I wonder if that could be Starkiller Base, the beginning of it, or before it becomes Starkiller Base. You know, is that what we're looking at here.
I think that's quite a reach. But, I mean, good for you for, you know, for going that deep, man. I don't know.
Good for you for picking that low-hanging fruit, you asshole.
No, it's I don't see it as low-hanging fruit because, I don't know, I wouldn't have thought of that, really. Like, I always thought Starkiller to be Snowy just because it really didn't have its own sun. It was kind of, like, just traveling from sun to sun, I guess.
Didn't?
I would think so, no? It had to...
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if Starkiller in The Force Awakens is where it was built, if that's where it's always been.
Because didn't it just arrive out of...
Sorry, James?
Didn't it just, like arrive there?
I don't know. I don't know if it's always been there, and that's where that planet was, and so they just built it there, and it can shoot.
Wouldn't it have, like...
What you gotta ask yourself is, how many suns, or how many shots is one sun good for?
It should be a lot of shots, but... we talked about the science of this and how, like, you can't really question it, because it's just, you know, that's a technology that you just have to accept as whatever they tell you. But wouldn't there be, while I'm questioning things, wouldn't there be, like, support planets around or support, like, planet station? Like, it has to have, like, shown up there. It can't have been built there.
Yeah, you might be right, because my impression was that, you know, it drains one sun for one blast. So if that's the case, either it drained another sun from where it sat, or the one that we do see it bleed dry in The Force Awakens is one that, you know, it arrived there and then eventually dismantled it. I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe it does travel around. But I thought the advantage of that base is that it can shoot down planets from the other side of the galaxy.
Yeah, visually that was just so cool.
It's weird though. Anyway, Rebels is back, coming up in a few days here. I'm looking forward to it
big time.
Anyway, I wanted to get to this the Grammy thing and this Rebels thing. It's kind of material more suited to the main show. But by the time we actually get to the main show in these pieces, they'll be dated, useless, and this whole Rebels clip will be completely useless because we'll already have seen the episode. So let's get to more Sith Disturbery type stuff with some Would You Rathers. And I'll be up front, I didn't do any this week. So you guys are going to carry the mail here. Who's going to go first?
I got a light one to start.
Go for it.
Because I think my second one hopefully requires a little more thought, so... this is just a straight up, don't think about it too much, or do if you have to, but would you rather, breathe like Vader or walk like 3PO?
Wow.
It's almost like contradictory in a way, because if you can't, like, if you want to do something and your breathing constricts you from doing it, like if you want to run fast or something, you know? But then if you want to run fast with 3PO legs,
like, with 3PO legs. Yeah, neither is a good choice.
Neither is a good choice. Do I want to bother every... like? But that's my only power, right? Like, I don't have Vader's power. I just breathe like him.
No, you can have 3PO's power of annoyance. But you don't have any Sith abilities or Jedi abilities.
I'll still take Vader's breathing because I feel like at least people would have pity for me. Like, oh, you can't help that. Whereas if you're annoying and you walk like that, you may as well be wearing a kick me sign.
Run, Forrest.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to go with that too. As long as I can still kind of do the things I want to do, but just, you know. At least, you know, it's kind of cool. I get to talk like Vader. That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, you can have a James Earl because of your breathing. No problem. You get that, Corey.
Loopholed. All right, Corey, you're up.
Oh, boy. This is a bit of a toughie. I hope you guys can talk this over for a while. For me, I'm still going over it. I can't decide really. But who knows? Maybe you guys are going to say, like, no, that's easy for me. Like, boom. All right, so this is it. All right, you can... okay, no, this is it. You've been confirmed to be in a movie of Star Wars. You're in a Star Wars movie. You're not getting cut. Like, you're in, man. And say you even possibly have a line of dialogue. Like, we're going that far. Like, we're talking... at that point, you can have your own action figure, possibly. Like, you can hit up the con circuit at that point.
Like a legitimate line, or... like, you want to buy some death sticks?
You don't want to sell me death sticks.
Because that's, like, no. That doesn't count.
No, it'd be something more like, you know, yeah, it would be a legitimate line. Like, not loopholing it. Like, yeah, you'd be like, get to the ships or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, it wouldn't be anything lame, you know? Just be regular Star Wars dialogue. So, being that and everything that comes with it, okay? Or, you've written a book, okay, about Star Wars, and looks like Disney got a copy, their hands on a copy, and they decide, they call you and say, we want to publish your book. Like, you're going to get, and we're going to sign you for another book. We like this one so much. And yeah, so everything that comes with that as well. Like, you get to create lore and mythos within Star Wars that will forever leave an imprint on that universe. Literally. In literature.
Oh, you should have said literally.
Yeah. Literally and canonically, whatever. It'd be canon. You're going to write canon.
So I can be an on-screen character with a name, probably with an action figure. I get a line of dialogue. I'll be one of those bizarre characters that has an entire backstory invented for them. I get to do the convention circuit as this throwaway character that somehow everybody loves. Or I can be a legitimate author that creates vast pieces of Star Wars continuity.
Yeah, two books.
That's the question.
Two books.
Two books. And that's it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you get paid for it and all that, but... Just the chance to leave your imprint in canon forever.
Imprint.
Imprint in canon, imprint.
I don't think that's that hard.
I'll take the on-screen.
Oh, see, I'll take the book. I'll pass up the fame for a piece of the intellectual property.
It's a tough one. It's not so easy.
Yeah, I'm still love to torn. Be in a movie. Don't get me wrong.
I love that you guys went opposite on it. That's great. Like, I kind of had a feeling a bit that James might go with the book, and I thought you might too, Kyle.
Well, the deciding factor is that you can't, like, you're promising me just two books. If you said, well, no, you might write 10 Star Wars books. You might be the next Timothy Zahn. If you had said that. And there's no cap to how many books I've written. Then I go book.
I probably would have allowed a loophole there. Like, you could have said something like, my two books are going to be so good that they're going to sign me for more and blah, 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 blah. Like, just like the whole thing with the cons and stuff. Who knows? You get that line of dialogue, but maybe people are like, man, that character sucked. Like, it can go either way.
Yeah, I think that there's something undeniably cool about being in a Star Wars movie.
And some people would hate your book,
experience.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Some people would hate my book.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'm leaning more toward movie as well, I think. And I think the deciding factor...
Well, after that tirade you went on when you thought that we would have some episode 8 shooting in Kingston, not too far from here, yeah, you better have chosen movie.
Yeah, well, I think the deciding factor for me was really, like, you know, having a toy made. I think that really just pushed me over the edge.
Oh, loophole. Well, see, I'd be an author that got himself into Stormtrooper.
You've never needed
something.
A toy for that.
Knock one before you come in. Yeah, okay, so I got another one. Let's I'm going to segue into this one. It's like almost like a choose-your-own-adventure. Like a...
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, so Kyle, you... James, I don't really have one written for the... I thought you guys were both going to kind of go with the movie, I guess, because I didn't write one for the book. But Kyle, let's turn to page 84 here. All right. So you've chosen to be in the Star Wars movie. would you rather, and James, you can answer this question as well, would you rather be a hot shot pilot? Let's say we're upping the ante on your role in the movie. Like, you're not just going to have one line of dialogue. You might have multiple lines of dialogue, like a, possibly, let's say, like a Wedge Antilles kind of character, you know? Something like, you're a hot shot pilot, you know? Like, you're well-liked and you're a hero, man. Or a hot shot bounty hunter. Like, you know, you got all the bounty hunter cool stuff. You're cool. You got, like, probably some wicked helmet.
Just say Boba Fett.
Something like that.
Just say it. Nah, like Boba Fett.
I'm say the new Wedge or the new Boba Fett.
So I'm like, yeah, let's say, okay. There you go.
That's a good choice because it's tough. Because it's sort of like choosing between being a Jedi and a Sith. On the one hand, like, it seems like an easy choice, but a lot of people like the being a bad guy. And
well, it was
Boba
like
Fett
Dave
was
Prowse.
Really cool.
Like Dave Prowse was given the choice. Do you want to be Chewbacca, the sidekick, or do you want to be the lead villain? And he said, well, hell, nobody remembers the sidekick. I'm going to choose. I'll take the villain. Thanks. Oh, wow. That is tough. I mean, to be the hotshot pilot, I mean, that's every boy's dream. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Pretty much.
But being a bounty hunter in Star Wars brings about a certain job security that you'll have forever.
Not necessarily, unless some blind dude accidentally hits you with a pole and you fly into some kind of like giant mouth in the middle of a desert.
Yeah, but people have been bringing Boba Fett back for 30-something years.
Yeah, plus the writers will prequel you into a whole super line of clones and stuff, so you're fine.
I don't know. Like, I think the deciding factor for me in choosing, I think I'm going to go with Hotshot Pilot, is just... like, yeah, okay, bounty hunters are so cool and they got all these cool gadgets and they're so badass and whatnot, but the reality is I'd say there's more a 90% chance that they're, or 80% chance they're most likely going to die if they're that, like, involved in the script. Like, maybe get their head lopped off or something.
80% you know? You'd say, eh?
I don't know, what happened? Boba, Django, like, if they're that kind of level involved and they're bad guys, you know, everyone kind of likes to see the bad guys get axed, so. And they kind of cheer that along. Like, I wouldn't want to be the, you know, if I had a choice between the two, if people be like seeing me, okay, I'm a hotshot pilot and I die, but they're like, oh my god, no. Glorious, what is it, on an X-wing and a prayer?
Yeah.
Like, the thing about being a cool bounty hunter is that you have to wear a helmet or a mask, right? That it's the mask is what sells it.
Not necessarily, because as I've probably said 100 times recently that I've been watching Clone Wars, and Cad Bane, I'm like, man, this character is so cool. Like, this is the bounty hunter I've been looking for.
Yeah, but he's got a really cool hat. It's like a mask.
Yeah, well, he's also
really
got
cool
that
accessory.
He's wearing an urban sombrero.
Hey, the boys will get that maybe in a few
Soon.
Weeks.
Soon. Mark might get that it'll take Mark a long time to get that one. That's way down the line.
Yeah, season like 5 probably.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
But Cat Bane still has those things attached to his face that, you know, it gives him that mask-esque quality and the voice.
Yeah, and he's not human, so I mean, we identify that as some already a type of mask. Because, you know, the security in being a hotshot pilot is that they're never going to CG your face to something else, and they're not going to swap out your voice. Like, you're going to be you forever. Whereas, you know, Jeremy Bullock, I don't think it was ever his voice. I'm actually quite certain of that. But the person whose voice it was cut and replaced with Tamara Morrison, which makes every lick of sense in the world. So I think I'm going to, for vanity reasons, I'm going to be a hotshot pilot just so I can, the proof will always be undeniable. That's me. Someone is never going to go, yeah, you're not in that bounty hunter suit. I don't believe you.
Yeah. Think of it, man. You're going to get to go, yahoo! You know what I mean?
Yep.
I hate to agree, but I think I have to pick pilot too. Although I could easily pick bounty hunter just to make it different because it's easy to defend. I think it's, you know, awfully cool. And I think if your goal was to like get the most chicks, then bounty hunter is definitely the way to go. Not that pilots don't probably do all right, but I don't know.
I'm sure pilots definitely do okay for themselves.
I think Boba's, you know, he's the man.
Although I think Wedge is probably a bit of a dweeb. I don't know if he does that well for himself.
Yeah, I agree. At any rate, I'm going to take Pilot 2 just because I want to be a good guy in the Star Wars universe. Yeah.
Saber Squadron.
Nice. Now, that's actually a good lead into my next Would You Rather, since Kyle didn't do his homework and only built the show notes that Corey didn't look at. Because it's about ships. So if you could get your hands on the data log in its entirety from either the Ghost or the Falcon from the day it's destroyed. So we don't know when these ships meet their demise, but like you get their whole story, their whole data log in front of you to go through and digest right now. Which one do you want more?
I feel like Corey's got more of a passion take on this one.
I'm just trying to look at the whole timeline and...
Because the Falcon's right back in the thick of things, right?
It is now, yeah. There was a period where it was just kind of rotting on Jakku.
Yeah, I mean, it changed hands a bunch of times. I mean, there's another story worth telling, right? Like, it was part of... Back on episode 62, Corey, we talked about a bunch of things that are kind of left twisting in the wind, plot points that we want to have told to us at some point. The Falcon's story is another one. That's easy. I'm Falcon. I want to know the Falcon's story.
Yeah, like that. Not only that, like the changing of hands is interesting, but I'm gonna have to go with the Falcon as well, just because it's more iconic, if you will.
But who's to say what iconic really means, Corey?
I guess.
Uh-oh.
Maybe the Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I'd like to see both either way, but no, I think the Ghost is a backup to the Falcon in a way. Like, this whole Rebels is a way of expanding the universe, yes, but it's just a way of bridging the gaps between the movies and animation and all that stuff. They've been on some interesting missions, no doubt, but the Falcon's just closer to the heart of the story. I think we're all interested. Like it's closer tied to the Skywalker family.
Oh, no doubt. And it seems to be right in the thick of the next saga as well. But you could find out what happens to, I think, Ezra and Kanan and everyone if you had the Ghost crew, or excuse me, the Ghost data. So I thought, you know, for someone like me who really loves Rebels, that's a tough choice.
I'm really, really hoping that Rey has gone the extra mile with the Falcon and that ship is like tip top when she's done with it.
Can the Falcon ever be tip top?
From the outside, no. From the inside, well, you know, we've had this discussion.
No.
It's got to break.
No.
It's got to break at one point.
It's so cobbled together using so many different parts from different eras. No. That thing is always going to be a jalopy. But Corey, something to soothe your soul. The most iconic sound from Star Wars. The discussion that got you frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, it got me so badly that I speak with one of our a fellow Twitterati in the Star Wars fandom, like Star Wars news and polls. We talk pretty often, you know. We retweet each other's polls, like, and we talk about them and stuff time and again. And I had asked him, you know, about that poll that we ran several months ago, I guess November, October. Yeah, it got to me, right? So
it got to you now, right?
But yeah, he did it. He was like, yeah, no problem, man. Like, And right off the bat, like, as soon as I asked him to do it, I didn't think about it. And then he had a date. He's like, okay, I'm doing it. And as soon as he published it, I was like, oh, I forgot. Like, I'm almost 100% sure during the conversation we had, it should have really been a three-way race. I should have just never put the lightsaber there. Because, again, it played the role of Vader last time. Like, it just took so many of the votes away, kind of, from what I was really trying to get at. But, yeah, that was my bad. But the results were pretty interesting. The choices were lightsaber, R2, TIE Fighter, and Chewbacca. So they all, the last three, like lightsaber won at 64%, so whatever. R2 came in second at 13, TIE Fighter 12, and Chewbacca 11. So
are you happy now?
No.
R2 beat out the TIE Fighter? Are you happy?
It does provide me some kind of solace. Because if I did have to come in here and talk to you with the TIE Fighter on top, I think the conversation might go a bit differently. But I don't know. I'm just still so perplexed. It's mind-boggling to me. Like, I just want to go back in time and just take the lightsaber out. And I think we really would have got different results. I think R2 would have stepped up to, like, this possibly the 64% range. You know what I mean? So
I don't know what you mean, because none of the polls I've seen back up that statement.
Yeah, there's no evidence to support that.
Well, there will be soon. This is going to be a trilogy thing, I think. Because look, man, like
you said,
Corey is just going to keep asking the question in different ways until he gets the answer he wants.
I think and that's
then he'll
another
be like,
thing.
See,
I might be. I don't know. Like, I'm always looking at it in the sense that it's well established and, like, widely recognized. That's the way I'm seeing the word iconic, right? So when I think of that, I think of, like, any guy off the street. Like, we talked about that in the last time we talked about it. Like, you spoke to our wives. I talked to my parents about it. I even went so far as this week to ask 24 people in my office and play the sound. Me and my colleague had the soundbite set up, right? We start with the TIE Fighter, then he'd do R2. And it was like 24-0, man. Like, I don't know. It's just...
Right, but now you're playing, you're like, social engineering. Like, do you want Star Wars fans answering your polls? Because normally you do, until they give you the answer that you don't like. Then you want average Joe answering.
No, but the thing that's bothering me at this point is... And it kind of pissed me off. Like, Kyle, first of all, calls me out on Twitter, and he's like, Kyle thinks... Corey thinks everybody's stupid. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, what I want to do is I want to understand, man. Like... That's it. Like, every other poll we've ran in the past, there's been... We've always kind of had our own opinions as to how we thought they would go. But this one... And I've never had a problem with it, because I've always been able to understand and be like, okay, well, that won because of said answer. Like, it made sense to me. But this one makes absolutely no fucking sense to me. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I just think there's a lot of... I don't know. The word iconic.
Stupid
is
people?
I think the word iconic is probably the wrong word.
Just say it.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
You think people don't know how to read?
No. Well, let's once you had called me out, a fan of the show said, hey, look, I voted for TIE Fighter. And then Kyle's like, well, why don't you explain it to Corey? And I'm like, yes, please do. Like, and he was so kind to be like, you know, like, thinking about it, like, it's nostalgic, it's this, it's that, but maybe it's not iconic. And then he went so far as to write me again the next morning saying, you know, I slept on it and I still got nothing. It's cool. And granted, I love ties. Can't get enough of the tie. But I think it's so cool too, but it just doesn't go with the iconic that I'm thinking of, I guess. Like, it's just not fitting into... And like you guys said, maybe it is more for... It's like a casual fan theory, or like a poll that's more suited for casual fans. Because like I said, you take any Joe Schmo off the street, like, hands down, like, R2 wins, like, 90% of the time, I'd say. And that was my point. Like, you guys were like, no, Kari's Trump, a mule. I'm like, you guys are suppressing my freedom to think freely, you know? Like, what is going on here? Like, I'm like, can I not critically look at something and disagree with it? Like, I'm like, why are you guys like so upset about this? Like,
no, in this case, because we're not dealing with fact, we're talking about opinions, and you were just freaking out over people's opinions.
I'm confused about this one, because in my head, this is more a question than an opinion. Because I think there's one right answer.
That's the rub. See, if you did this and did this as a test and like asked people to listen to four sounds and see which one they recognized first, then you'd have results. And if the results didn't fit your criteria, you could be like, well, that's weird. I'm surprised that R2 didn't get recognized more. But what you did was ask a question, allowing people to interpret it however they want. And you might have used the word iconic, but if a lot of people, you know, for them, that means, you know, which one to me rubs my Star Wars feels the warmest, then to them, they're interpreting like nostalgia and all these other things in there. So it becomes, like Kyle said, it's there's no right answer. Well, that's the thing.
That's the thing too. Like, I think people, like, when they have a connection to a character or a vehicle or an astromech, whatever it is, they kind of tend to go that way as well, you know?
You know what's happened here? You've anthropomorphized the astromech to a dog, and you've turned R2 into your dog, and you're upset that your dog didn't win.
Yes.
That's what's happened. You're insulted that your dog didn't win.
My dog's Chopper. Fanny dog. No, that because I'm going to prove you wrong right now, because I'll tell you about my other poll. Like, the bottom line at this poll is that I just kind of want to understand someone's opinion. And, like I want to hear their point. Like, why would you think that the TIE Fighter is more iconic than R2? That's it. I haven't heard one real, like, valid argument. I've heard...
Yeah, but you... Okay, exactly. You didn't... You asked, you got answers, you didn't accept the answers, you're still saying, well, I don't like any of your answers.
Dude,
I'm asking your opinion, and I don't like it, so I'm still searching.
I heard just because was an answer I was giving. I heard it's cool, and it's nostalgic. Like, yeah, I get it, it's all those things, but it's not really what I meant by iconic.
If only we had smarter fans.
It's not necessarily our fans, like,
smarter.
Dude, there was over 846 people that voted in this poll. It was huge. Huge.
It was a huge poll. It was huge.
Yeah, it was, yeah. 879 actually was the final. That's a big sample size.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a, to me, I don't know, it's a phenomena, anomaly, whatever you want to call it. Mystery, enigma. I don't get it. I don't want to pretend to understand it either. Like, I'd love
to. People
are
also attaching the sound to the thing it goes with, and people are saying that the TIE Fighter is as iconic a vehicle from Star Wars as R2 is a character, and that's part of that's affecting the results too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that do, but just to prove you wrong, I'm not taking any heat on this. Like, I don't feel any guiltiness on this one. Like, this is a really fluff poll that I ran this week, and we had talked about it months ago, and I said, I'll run it sometime in the new year. So it was, which Astromech voice is your favorite? And your choices were BB-8, R2, and Chopper. Let's say BB-8's warbles, R2's bloops and beeps, and Chopper's garbles. So R2 obviously won at a big 68%. BB-8 came in at 18%, and Chopper got 14%. So, hey, man, it is what it is. Like, I'm not... if I thought any poll Chopper could have won, I think it might have been this one, just because I love his voice so much. It's almost like the voice from... It's Charlie Brown's teacher, basically, you know?
Yeah, but he's working against, like, BB-8. People know who did his voice, and they like the actor or actors who did it. Like,
yeah,
there's Bill a sort Hader of an attachment and... there. And R2's got way more history, so he had very, very, very tough competition.
Yeah, and they're both in movies as well. I mean, Chopper's had a very, very small audio clip and cameo in a movie, but yeah.
I mean, I don't think Chopper had any chance in this one.
No, but he did any quite well. I mean, he's 4% behind BB-8. That's impressive to me nonetheless. Like, I'm happy for him. Like, I said, okay, maybe he will beat BB-8, you know, but I wasn't hoping for it. I thought there's a small chance. And then I thought...
Okay, but here you go. So, whereas in your previous poll, you wanted to take it to Average Joe... If you took this poll to Average Joe, Chopper gets 0.
Yeah, You're right.
Maybe 2%.
I agree with you. 100%.
So just be just know, do you want Star Wars fans answering your poll or do you want average Joe?
Well, that's the thing. Like,
it depends on the week.
Depends on the week and the answer that you want.
Well, I guess it depends on your definition of iconic. That's what it boils down to me.
And the answer you want. Moving on.
No, iconic. I'm not backing down from that. Iconic. I looked up the definition like 3 times to make sure I'm not crazy. You know, like I wrote it down. Like that's why the question was asked. But
I just want you to know that the definition for iconic is mutually exclusive from the fact that you're crazy.
Well, all I can say again is thank God R2 won because this could have been a lot worse.
Well, yeah, I mean, R2 is not going to lose that one.
It was close. He was behind in the wee hours.
You're talking about the iconic one?
Yeah.
You're still there?
Yeah.
You still won't let that go?
In the wee hours of that poll, he was behind. I was like, oh, God.
No, he squeezed it out. Yeah. And you never know. If that poll went on for another couple of days, the results could have switched again.
Yeah, it's possible.
And it bears noting, Corey, that these polls are very far from being scientific in nature.
Agreed. that's been clearly proven here tonight.
Again, a little passive swipe at Star Wars fans. Really, really ingratiating yourself to Star Wars fandom.
Jesus. It's a joke, man.
Guys, a couple weeks ago, I had ran a poll about the possibility of a Star Wars standalone movie with no symphonic score. And I am not in the yes camp. I was totally in the no camp. But I thought this might be a runaway, like a 75-25 split or even more dramatic. But surprisingly, it came back as 66% no, and it was a 2-1 basically. But 33% of people said, "Yeah, let's move away from the symphonic score, mix it up, and do something different." I was a bit shocked by that.
Yeah, those are the same people who'll be the first to be like, "This sucks."
Yes, that's a very volatile 33%.
But yeah, we've talked about it before as well, and I think it really depends on the genre. I think it'd be odd for fans like us, just having grown up with Star Wars, like since the OT. Maybe it'd be odd. But yeah, who knows? Again, it depends on the genre of film and what kind of look and feel they're going for.
You know what's funny about this particular survey that I had run? Like, it became like a personal thing at a certain point because it only got 50 votes. And I pumped the shit out of its tires. And it just would not get any traction. Like, I'm sure people saw it, but they just wouldn't vote. And I don't know. It's strange to me that either people didn't have an opinion, the subject matter just didn't resonate with them. I don't know.
I think people probably couldn't figure out what their opinion was. They were like, I don't know. I have to think about that. It's not the kind of it's not an easy question to just answer on the spot.
Or they were just like, obviously symphonic, you fool. No, you're gonna.
Well, then click it. That's easy. That's an easy vote.
Then say so. No, I think deep down people were conflicted but afraid to answer. Like they're afraid of coming to a conclusion that might be unpopular, so they just skipped it.
And that's another interesting thing with these polls as well, is that I've had polls answering others and even my own. Like, I look at the one I just ran with the Chopper and BB-8 and R2, and, you know, I'm like, I love Chopper, and I think his voice is so cool, but if I do, I voted for him. Well, I didn't, but I would have voted for him. But I almost feel guilty about it for R2's sake, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, I ran another poll. It came to me. I ran it. I figured I'd need some extra material here for the show.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So I asked.
You should have told me about this one. This is a really good one.
Well, why would I tell you about all my good ones?
Jesus.
Come up with your own good one. Jesus. So aside from Rey's origin and parents, what revelation are you hoping to learn in Star Wars The Last Jedi? So the options were, who and what is Snoke? When and why did Ben turn? Who were the Knights of Ren? What has Luke been doing?
That's what I voted D.
Likewise.
That's, and I thought that, especially with, you know, the recent reveal of the title and a whole lot of talk about Luke, I thought that would run away with it a little bit. But that's not what happened. So 41% went with who and what is Snoke versus 30% for Luke. 16, who are the Knights of Ren? And 13 for when and why did Ben turn? And I'm not surprised that ended up last, simply because I think we have a very strong idea.
Yeah, I'm surprised I even got 13%. I think you had like, what, 280 votes on this or something?
Yeah, 13% is pitiful. Basically, if you get 13%, you've sadly lost a poll.
Yeah, you did, but I'm surprised that out of those four options that it even got any votes whatsoever.
I was just referencing R2's total on the last poll, Corey. Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, and you know, only 16% really want to know who are the Knights of Ren. Again, maybe they feel like they already have some indication, or they feel like they're not all that important. But it really boiled down to Snoke versus Luke, and Snoke kind of ran away with it significantly. I'm a bit surprised by that, because I think it's a clean sweep here on this show. I want to know what Luke has been doing,
and why.
I think if you got a lot of casual fans, I think that's why. I think the more casual fans you get, if you watch that movie one time, and you're not like talking about Star Wars in your spare time, you only have one question in your head after that movie: who is that guy, Snoke?
Yeah, what's up with that guy?
Yeah.
Not even a lot of, like, I'm super curious about Snoke as well.
Of course I am too. I'm just saying that if you're pulling a ton of casual fans, you'll get Snoke answer a lot. You'll get it also with hardcore fans. Some hardcore fans really want to know. But I just think that movie leaves one question in your head, basically. If it's going to leave one, it's going to be, who's that tall, weird, bad guy?
Yeah, it makes sense too.
Interesting results. I'm happy that it turned out the way it did. I like being surprised. So fans, I mean, and the funny thing is, we may not get any of these answers in episode 8. I suspect we'll find out what Luke has been doing. But there's no guarantee we'll learn what Snoke is or who he is. That could be actually revealed in Empire's End, which comes out, when this podcast drops, it will be like 4 days away. That answer could be very on the very near horizon. Yeah, there you go, guys. That's all I got for this week.
I think that's perfect.
Actually, you know what? No, we got it. We have a question. It's a question from Robbie One Kenobi, Rob Phillips, and he sent it in via DM. And
I'm sure we're supposed to pronounce it Robbie One Kenobi.
Robbie One Kenobi?
Must be.
Sure, that works. Anyway, hi guys, got a question for the podcast. What with Glasgow here in Scotland now offering a course in Star Wars philosophy, what course would you like to study based out of the Star Wars universe? Bounty hunting 101, lightsaber dueling, droid maintenance, or I guess insert your own answer here. James, which one would you go for, or something else?
I think it's funny the way you presented the question, because you said droid maintenance and then you said insert your here, and I thought, wow, what kind of droid maintenance are you doing that you're inserting stuff into the droid? But for me, that's an easy question. The lightsaber will, given the lightsaber choice in any list, lightsaber is going to win. If I get to handle it, if I get to learn how it works, if I get to just anything with a lightsaber, that's going to win.
Yeah, I feel like if this was turned into a poll, that lightsaber probably runs away with it.
on this list, if I was going to add it at choice D, would be like force wielding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would, you know, that I was just about to say.
That would run away with it.
Well, no, that'd be then I'd have a choice. Like, lightsabers are still pretty cool. I don't know if I'd rather have my own lightsaber and not be able to use the force, or use the force and not have my own lightsaber. I don't know.
If you could use the force, then you could maybe find your own kyber crystal.
Shut up, loopholes.
Oh,
cheater.
Yeah.
I mean, just think of how handy it would be. You're comfy on the couch, and the remote's out of reach. You have nobody to get it for you. You can't ask one of your kids to pick it up for you. Use the force.
Yeah, but the flip side of that coin is
not help you.
You don't need to have a TV when you're busy chopping stuff in half with your lightsaber.
That is true. Well, so you're not interested in interstellar smuggling? You wouldn't want to take a course on that?
I would. That would be like maybe in my third semester.
That'd be you a major in lightsaber dueling with a minor in interstellar smuggling?
Yeah, I would. That course is interesting to me, but it wouldn't get ticked in my first couple of options.
What about learning the language of binary load lifters?
If I could be uploaded with like 6 million languages, that's pretty, you know, I would take the one semester for 6 million languages. I would do that.
I mean, it's cool enough that we know two languages, right? Learning other languages is cool. 6 million of them, that's really awesome.
Corey.
I'd like to take a course in either flying in space,
starfighter pilot training.
Yeah, something like that. Or
nope, space flying in space.
Or something like a history of the Jedi or something.
And I want to take the politics of the Senate.
Nerd.
The wills of the Force. The journals of the willing.
What about biology, like specifically genetic manipulation, i.e. cloning?
That'd be interesting. Maybe cooking, how to properly
cloning to cooking. What are you doing with the clones?
I'm cloning Mon Calamari so that I can learn how to cook them properly over and over and over again.
Proper.
Oh, there's some ethics issues in there, I think.
Yeah. Waste not, want not.
Yeah, the lightsabering is tough, man. I would want to major in lightsaber dueling, and with a minor in starfighter pilot.
Yeah, that sounds right.
No history of the galaxy, history of the universe for you guys.
History's for losers.
Mm-hmm.
Textbooks, writing papers. Come on.
And in a galaxy far, far away, I'm pretty sure it'd be pretty interactive. Like. Let's go visit Jedha.
Anybody could do that. Just buy a book. You don't have to waste your vocation, your school time on that. Just buy a book.
Depends what you're interested in. If you want to be a Dr. Aphra of, or like an archaeologist of in that galaxy, that'd be so cool.
Oh my God, Corey, I can't even hear you over the sound of my lightsaber chopping stuff in half.
But you're not a Jedi. Like, you have a lightsaber. Like, still shoot you and you can't block it. Like, you can block maybe like two or three, but I still get you.
No way. Both your arms are sitting on the floor. There's no way.
No way. I kept my distance. I'm pretty fast.
Yeah. And again, nobody would mess with you. If they knew you had a lightsaber and had a fair idea of how to use it, nobody would come within 10 feet of you looking to pick a fight.
And everyone would know I had a lightsaber because there'd be a pile of stuff cut in half all over the place.
Just stay 20 feet and be like, hey, you.
Maybe maybe I got a pea shooter staple gun. You don't know.
Just loopholed me, man.
I loopholed you. Yeah, that's right.
All right, guys. I think that's a good place to end the show. Thank you, Roby-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, that was fun.
Very much. Adding a little spice to Sith Disturbers here to close out the show. Guys, it was a pleasure getting back here on, in the studio to do some Sith disturbing.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry I missed it last night. I had technical issues. I don't know if...
Nah, you were missed. You were missed, man. But like I said, if there was any week to miss with a bunch of really soft news articles, news pieces, it was episode 62. So, hey, just look at it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know what it is. It's you it becomes a habit that you like doing. It's not just it's like smoking cigarettes. You know, it'd be easy to quit podcasting if I didn't enjoy the bad habit so much. So I missed it last night.
I'm gonna get Sithy on you guys one more last time. Let's close it out in this last question, if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah, go for it.
It's a doozy, okay?
Well, I love doozies.
Oh yeah, baby. All right. Which sound from the Star Wars universe is more iconic? R2?
Fucking asshole. Or a TIE fighter?
So?
All right, so visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and check out our friends over at Talk Star Wars and Generation X-Wing, Skyhoppers, Nerd Room, and the Rogue Squadron podcast, all doing fabulous work these days. And again, check out StarWarsPodcastAwards.com. Vote for Star Wars Commonwealth as best Star Wars podcast network.
Do it.
If you please. Do it. And stuff those ballot boxes, guys. Vote and then clear your cache of cookies and do it again. And, I should mention Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, all that stuff. Corey, you're at?
Chop Rules with a Z.
And Mr. James?
Tommy Bombadil 1. Now I want cookies.
And of course, I am at Tumbling Saber. Come check us out on social media. Like I mentioned back in episode 62 that we got a shout out, a little hello from Old Sci-Fi Geek on Twitter. Come out and say hi. We're all doing this because we love to say hi to other Star Wars fans. So don't be shy. Get on your keyboard and come give us a shout, whether privately or publicly. And we'll be happy to... give you a virtual high five.
I will write a haiku. I've been practicing writing haiku. So any new listener who writes in or reaches out and Twitter tweets you gets their own haiku this week. There's my offer.
Dude,
holy shit.
I'm going to create an account just for that.
Haiku time.
I love haikus.
Is that a Wayne's World thing?
That's like Garth. That was a haiku.
It's on Netflix now, eh?
Nice.
Yeah. You got to check. I got to check that out again. That's it, guys. Again,
peace.
iTunes, social media, all that stuff. Check us out. And thank you once again for listening. And we will speak to you again in episode 63 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. Enjoy your weekends. Have a good one. And we'll talk to you in a few days.
Thank you for listening to the Sith Disturbers podcast. Brought to you by the Warped Minds at the Tumbling Saber. Proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.